Morning, Rabbi Isai. We are in Klal Aleph, Sif Gimel of Hilchos Rechilos, and our limud is Liskus Fushlema for Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Pesach Shal Chayla Yisrael, Shtavar Fushlema B'korav. So a couple of juicy Lashon Haras for today, illustrating the... sorry?
Rechilos.
Rechilos. What's the plural of Rechilos? Rechilos. Or Rechilios. In any event, a couple of practical cases. One, for instance, both to illustrate the idea that what the Chofetz Chaim is saying is that sometimes you can do rechilus and there's almost no lashon hara involved because the person who said something or did something is not ashamed of what he did and he doesn't mind that the other side knows about it. But you weren't supposed to. You weren't supposed to try and bolster your case by bringing him as an example. For instance, I go around on Thursday mornings collecting for WST, the Tomchei Shabbos collection. And I'm just giving you an imaginary example, okay? But there is one balabos who is a regular, respectable, ordinary balabos. He earns an ordinary panosa, not the biggest gevir, not the poorest man. And every week when I go around, he makes like this with his hands, he can't give anything. Okay, and he never takes part in that collection. And I'm sitting at a chasna, and we're chatting, and we're talking either about that person, or we're talking about the WSD collection, whatever it is, and I say something like, and something along the lines of, I don't think it's nice. Give me a 50p voucher. Give me 20p, give something. But every week, week after week, just to make like this, and I haven't got anything, and I can't give anything, I don't think it's like, the entire shul is mishtatif. Yeah, anything from 50p to £50. Doesn't matter what they give, but everybody gives something towards that collection. And this is the Yotze Min HaKlal. So
no,
I meant.
He's not Yotze Min HaKlal because he's probably got a standing order.
What? Yeah, he could be the biggest bald stock in town and he can give Matan Basesa and he probably gives WSD every week. And maybe he goes to Shul, maybe after Shul, he goes online and makes a donation to WSD every week. It's possible. I still think it's not nice that he doesn't take part. So I mentioned it at the table, we're talking about a chasna or a bar mitzvah or something like that. Yeah? And somebody else says, you know what, I think you're right. Yeah? Oh, first he says like you, maybe he does. Yeah? So I say, maybe he does. Now I'll begin. I think it's nice to be mishtata. Fine. So then he comes over to me one day and he says, I hear you were talking about me at a chasna. Yeah? Because the word got back to him. Yeah? He says, I hear you were talking about me at a chasna. Yeah, and I must tell you, he said, I think it's not nice. It's not nice of you to talk about behind my back, in front of other people. Yeah, in front of other people. Yeah, this is all imaginary, okay? Yeah. In front of other people, right? So I say to him, yeah, but you know what? I was at that table, yeah, and David Blackman agreed with me, and Martin Harris agreed with me, and Ronnie Joseph thought I was right. Zut Chofetz Chaim. That me speaking about him, about what he doesn't give tzedakah, or that he doesn't take part in the collection, speaking to other people, that is Lashon Hara. But me then saying about Martin Harris and David Blackman and Ronnie Joseph, that they're on my side and that they don't agree with him, and that they also think he's wrong, that's Rechilus. Why? Because then he hasn't just got a taina on me. Through what I've said, he's annoyed with Martin Harris, he's annoyed with Blackman, he's annoyed with everybody else at the table. So he says, there you've got a Lashon Hara and a Rechilus.
Some people put their case, everybody says that, they don't mention names, but everybody.
That's okay, but if I mention names, yeah, if I say, well, so Plony said he agrees with me, I'm using other people to support my argument to make me right. Yeah, that's Rechilus, because that's going to create an animosity. It's going to create a dislike between him and them, because they, besides his Tanus on me now, he's got Tanus on these other people as well.
So, Mr. Harris,
start your editorial in Northwest London, Thursday, half of summer, 1st of August. Bring our Arbor of Moisture, Brother Stephen, is it okay? To believe
that someone
is Mashiach. Yeah. This is the Torah response to Nishmas, Mantle, the Bast Ramer, as well, Bast Ramer, as well, and the outside Friday.
And some kiss, still singing.
Thank you. Plus five before. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Good to be back and in the new old home. Beautiful. Baruch Hashem. L'hagdol Torah l'adira. B'shus avimoyu shlita. And kol hatzibu. I'd like to share with you a topic relevant to Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks, the 9 days. And in a way, even current events and disputes all comes into this topic. So we'll begin with the basic halachic background, and then So there's a Mishnah in Maseches Tainis that goes through the various gzeiros that Klal Yisrael had that fell upon them on Tisha B'Av. For instance, Shelo Yikonsu LaOretz, not allowed to come into Eretz Yisrael, and then by the Meraglim, and then Chorav HaBayis B'Rishoino B'Shniya. The Churban HaBayis happened twice on Tisha B'Av. This is very important because we know that Tisha B'Av is more severe, the halachas of Tisha B'Av is more chumradik. For instance, a pregnant woman has to fast. There's maybe leniencies after you go to the Rav, but Be'etzem in halacha, a pregnant woman has to fast. Mashigin Shivasa B'Tammuz, it's more lenient. Why is that so? Because Shivasa B'Tammuz fell away when we weren't under oppression. You didn't actually have to keep Shivasa B'Tammuz. And when we decided to keep it, Klal Yisrael took it on as a minug, we brought in more leniencies. We accepted it with less chumras. For instance, a pregnant woman doesn't have to fast. Just hayois that nowadays we're back in the Zman Tzoras somewhat. Therefore, we wrapped it up again with certain chumras of maybe a pregnant woman does fast, there's a place for leniency. Because we weren't under golus for a certain time after it happened. However, Tisha B'Av, there's halacha since huchpulu boi tzora, since it doubled. The tzora was doubled. The same tzora happened twice. So the old fast remains forever. And the old fast, the first kabbalah of the fast was that even pregnant women fast. Again, obviously, if they're ill or it could cause damage, then they don't. But strictly speaking, it's a stricter fast because it never moved from its place. The way we got it is the way it remains because huchpulu boi tzoras, because the tzoras got doubled. And then it says, Nilchador Beita. There was a city called Beita that got captured. And that was like Churban Yerushalayim. And then also discusses that they plowed over where the Beit HaMikdash was. So I'd like to go into the Nilchador Beita. The fact that Beita was conquered. What was the story there? What was the Churban? So I'll give you first a quick synopsis that Aruch HaShulchan gives in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. He says, one of the things that happened was Beita got conquered. There were tens of thousands of Yidden there. And there was a king that many thought was Mashiach. And the sins caused that they all got killed. And they also didn't get buried. It was such a Torah like Churban Beis HaMikdash. So first let's go to the halachic side of this. The Gemara says, in Brachas Memches Beis, and the Gemara in Tainas Lamed Aleph as well, that this Tzorah of Beita happened on Tisha B'Av. And they killed thousands and thousands of Yidden, thousands upon thousands of Yidden. So much so, that there were rivers of blood that went down to the sea, and they irrigated the Goysha vineyards for 7 years with the blood of the Jews. They didn't need any other fertilizers. And the Gemara says that many years later, it's a debate, 3 years or 25 years later, they finally got buried. But until then, they were used as a fence around Hadrian's vineyard. Hadrian had a vineyard. He took all the bodies that his army had killed. He had a vineyard of 18 mil by 18 mil, a huge vineyard. And he surrounded it with the bodies of the Jewish people, made a whole wall, so pile upon pile. And they remained there for either 3 years or 25 years. And then they finally got buried on, many years later, on Tu B'Av. It's one of the things of Tu B'Av. And the Gemara says that's The Birkas HaMazon, the fourth bracha in Birkas HaMazon we make, is instituted on this burial. Hatoiv v'hameitiv. Hatoiv shaloi hisrichu. That they didn't decompose and they didn't smell. V'hameitiv shenitnu likvura, that they finally got buried. That's what this bracha is made on. Interesting, the Maram Shif says, we know there's halacha, there's certain tanoim in this halacha, but there's halacha if you have a wine in a meal, and then you have another wine in the meal, there is, in certain cases, a bracha that you make called a toiva metiv. We find this stressed on wine more than anywhere else. Why? Because the bodies were used to surround a vineyard, and their blood was used to fertilize a kerem. And we say on them, at the same time as they had this Torah, they also had Atoy v'hametiv, shaloi hisrichu, v'nitnu l'kvura. Therefore there's a shaychus between the wine and this story, and therefore we have the bracha b'ksa mazon, and we also have the bracha when we have a wine. To remember that relevant to the wine, there was a Atoy shaloi hisrichu, they didn't decompose, and hametiv, that they were nitnu l'kvura. Which I'll come to in a minute, like, bit of a funny bracha, right? It's a big tzora. We're making a fuss out of something good in a tzora. What is that to tell us? So, the Aruch HaShulchan, he gives us a little message here. He says, like this. He says, why is a Toiv HaMeitiv after Boinu Yerushalayim in Birkas HaMazon? The next bracha. He says, because it was like Churban Yerushalayim. The story of Beita was like Churban Yerushalayim. Since then, the Gemara says, we never go with pride as the Jewish nation. Don't have that pride, and we are. Since Beita. So it was like another puncture after Yerushalayim. Therefore, it comes together that we want back the Yeshua of Bnei Yerushalayim, and we should come back to how we were also in Beita. Therefore, they're put together. He asks, why don't we do it in Shemona Esra as well?
Why don't we?
Yeah. So he says, because you can only put this like sort of slap on of a Durabon on next to Boinu Yerushalayim if it's at the end. Boinu Yerushalayim by benching is the end. It's the end of the Deraita. Now the Rabbonon come and they add a Durabon on at the end. So you can make additions. But in Shemona Esra, by Yerushalayim, there's still lots of Shemona Esra to go. So where are you going to... It's a bit hard to put in that addition. But then he says something else. Interesting thing. It's two mahalchim. Why is it dafkin Birkas HaMazon? The Binyamin Zev says that during a Suda, we drink, we eat, we can get carried away and become, you know, frivolous, sinful. And therefore, to remind us, we do a hoidah of a tov hameitiv, but at the same time reminds us of not such happy things. And therefore, it's dafkin the Suda, as opposed to Shemoneh Esra, that we're so with this to Yerushalayim. Or HaShulchan says, and it's also an interesting thing, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whenever he punishes us because we deserve it, he does it with a wink. Even in the punishment, he does it with a wink. Yasoir yisrani ko velamoves loyles anoni. Which can even mean, even when he does give death, but not ultimate death, he still holds on to us. Yasoir yisrani ko, he afflicts us, but velamoves loyles anoni. It's not all the way, it's with a wink. For instance, again, I'm not being political here, yeah, but for instance in our history, take it how you like, we had the Holocaust, and straight away afterwards, Klal Yisrael were able to be miyashav a land in a way that in the Golos they could have only have dreamt of, right? So, leaving out the exact political state of the matter, but there was a wink at the same time as a terrible calamity. And the same here, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that in the Torah, the thousands and thousands fell, and Beita was the last pride of Klal Yisrael. But still, there was a nest. While they were being sort of disrespected and being used as a wall, there was a mamash, a miracle. The bodies didn't decompose. And eventually they were given to Kvura. So there was a wink in the greatest of Tzoros. So too, he says, Birkas HaMazon is a chizuk also in our Golos. Because one of the hardest Tzoros he brings from Chazal is putting bread on the table during Golos. So he says, putting bread on the table, sometimes the time is abundant. But many times in the Golos, there isn't, and many people, even in times of abundance, don't have. And therefore, we say our Toiv HaMeitiv to tell us, Hashem will make sure Yidden get through. Yidden will get through. So even in the greatest Torahs, you'll get through. So it's to give a chizuk for the anius, that even with all the tribulations of Golos, bread will come on your table. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. So now let's go a little bit to the story behind Beta. There was a man called Ben Koziva, or Bar Kochba. And Chazal say, there's a pasuk, Dorach Koichelv Miyakov, it's a pasuk in Parashat Balak. A star sort of shone, went out from Yaakov. Who is this star? Says Chazal, Al Tikri Koichov Elokoizev, Ben Koziva. He's this star. Rabbi Kiva, Havachami Lehodein Bar Koziva. Rabbi Kiva saw this Bar Koziva, and he said, Hainu Malka Mashiacha. This is the king, the Melech HaMashiach. What did he do that got Rabbi Kiva jumping? So, let me just give you a little bit what the Medrash says. The Medrash in Eicha, in Dalad, in Base Dalad. Very interesting Medrash. You've got spare times. Well worth reading properly. So, it says over there that Bar Kochba had an army of 200,000 men who were warding off Hadrian. Tell you how many, if I find it quickly, I'll tell you how many men Hadrian had. Yeah, Hadrian had 80,000 men laying siege on Beta, and they had 200,000 men fighting back. Now, these 200,000 men were all missing a finger. Why? Because to join the army, you had to show your bravery. You had to show your mental capacity. Right? And I guess if you couldn't, you got a patur. But what you did was, you had to bite your finger off.
Sorry, 200,000, but there was people in Beta?
Beta. I don't know if they gathered in Beta, but the army of Bar Kochba in Beta was 200,000 men. And they all were missing a finger because they had to bite their finger off.
The bracha without the bracha.
I don't understand. There's a huge army, no?
I'll get to that. Yes. Hang on. So what's fair?
Bite off the finger.
Okay. Yeah, good. I thought you meant something else. How could they go to the army? I'm going to try and get to it. Hang on. No. One minute. So Bar Kochba had them all bite their fingers off. Okay. And this was to show bravery. Like, it's very easy, really, to bite a finger off. You know, it's not a big deal. A boys in my class in Menorah, they told me it's like biting a carrot. They've checked. Like, no, in the how hard it actually is like biting a carrot. No, not masking.
Show us.
Huh?
Don't try this at home.
Yeah, it's one of those. But Al Kaponim, obviously, in the mental side of things, it's very difficult. And the Rabbanon complained, like you're saying. Rabbanon complained, you're making a Balei Mumin. So he changed tactics. The basic detail is he made them uproot a cedar tree. There's details exactly how they had to do it, but they had to uproot a cedar tree and in order to join. So with 200,000 of this and 200,000 of that. It's a big army. 400,000. No, Hadrian had 80,000. 400,000. Okay. So this was his army. Now besides for that, Ben Koziva was a mighty man. Some of you may have read this in comics, but it's actually Chazal, just they took it from us. It says, Ma hoya oisa ben Koziva, what would he do? Hoya makabel avne blistera, be'echud mar kuvoisov. He would catch the catapult stones, I think it means like with his leg, sort of under his knee. He'd catch it like that, if I'm understanding correct, and then he'd throw it back at the Romans, right? I'm sure you've come across such a type thing, right? Well, I can't on this, but Kitza.
Now the Olympic, you can check
that. Okay, Kitza, this is what Chazal say, that he was able to catch the stones and throw them back. He was extremely strong. And Rukiva believed that he was Mashiach. Now, there's one more detail that we need to know. what actually was guarding the city? Sounds like Ben Kaziva and his army. However, the Medrash carries on, tells us something actually very famous. That there was a man in that city called, well, a malach, called Reb Loza Moidoi, a Tana, who was an uncle of Ben Kaziva. And he used to fast every day. And he would say, Hashem, don't come to judgment with the Yidden. Don't sit on your kisei shildin. And this is what saved Klal Yisrael. And Hadrian was about to leave after three and a half years, Hadrian was about to leave. A goy came to Hadrian and said, you don't understand what tactic we need against the Jews. You think we need to fight the military. You're wrong. There's a man there, there's a koilal man there, in Beta, called Reb Loza Moidoi. And because of his fasting and his efforts and tefillahs, they're being saved. I can sort this out very, very quickly. So Hadrian believed him. And Hadrian said, go ahead. So the Kuti slipped into town and went to Reb Loza Moidoi, who was in the middle of Shemoneh Esra, and whispered to him something in his ear. And then he quickly tried to slip away. And obviously, he got arrested by Yechveis, the undercover agents of the city of Beta. And they brought him to Bar Kokhba. What's going on here? What are you whispering secrets and coming in from outside? So he said, if I tell you what I told Reb Loza Moidoi, my king will kill me. If I don't tell you what I told Reb Loza Moidoi, you will kill me. This doesn't sound good. Bar Kokhba calls in Reb Loza Moidoi, his uncle. What is this? What is this secret messages that you're sharing with the enemy? What secret messages? We have witnesses that there was whispering going on. So he says, what time? This and this time. I was davening Shemoneh Esrei at that time. Think I hear what's going on? I've got no idea. Bar Kokhba didn't believe him. He gave him a kick and he died. Says the Medrash. Says the Medrash, miyad, straight away, gormu avoinus, the sins caused, v'nilchil del beta, beta got conquered, v'nerga ben kaziva, and the mighty general got killed, the icy reishe, and his head was taken to Hadrian, and Hadrian said, who killed him? It's impossible that a human being killed him. And the Medrash goes on to elaborate exactly what happened. So, just as an aside, you see very clear from this chazal, that the Hatzlocha of the town Beta was only when they had the engine of Reb Loza Moidoi. And who took away the engine of Reb Loza Moidoi? Not the enemy. They themselves kicked themselves, punctured themselves, and that was the fall of Beta. So you see very clearly, Dailah Hakima Baramiza, that it's a destruction to take away. It's the very destruction for oneself to take away the Kedusha and the Torah that there is within Klal Yisrael, because who knows how many we need to be a Reb Loza Moidoi. Yeah, we don't have a ton anymore. Who knows how many we need to Reb Loza Moidoi? And who did it? It wasn't the enemy. It was them themselves, and the enemy believed that there was such a power. They sent the Kuti. Hadrian believed this. He didn't go home. He didn't say, oh, mystical stuff. He believed it. So how much more so, at least, people that belong to the machne, that learn Torah, etc., should believe in themselves somewhat more in what Chazal say, Oim goes hoyer aglenim Yerushalayim, that we only oimed b'melchoma when there's sha'orim in Yerushalayim that learn Torah. Sheyet, aber akaponim, it's only oim goes when there's Torah. So akaponim, that's that. As an aside, Ratzfiyah Shfaba, who was a rov, a very modern kehillah, he wasn't scared to say this still. He writes in Kerem HaTzvi that when the Yidden were meant to go around the city of Edoim, he said, I'll come out with my sword. So they went around Edoim. They didn't go into Edoim. He said, but there was a group that was tired. They wanted to go into Edoim. He says, in Klal Yisrael, there's always been, meaning, of course, logically, there's debates. We can't, you know, logically, there's a lot what to speak about. But behind the debate, meaning there is a lot of logic in both sides. I'm not coming to have a debate now. You know, there is aside for everything. Why should they and why should they? That's something to be decided and spoken about. But in the core, there is a group of people that want yeshivas closed, even if there wasn't an army. Because you just have to go back to Russia. Who closed down Volozhin? Who stopped Bris Mila, etc.? There were Yidden that put all the Yidden into the pale of settlement. There were communists, were Yidden. And they didn't like anything to do with religion. And there was no army then. No Jewish army. So it's clear that in history already we know there are groups that just don't want the Torah. And therefore one has to know that when one goes into the ideological argument, there's a lot to argue about, of course. But you always have to still know deep in the core, what's the agendas? What's the agendas? Meaning, it's not to praise, not to praise. Yes, people are most nefesh for sure. But deep in it, do you really want the people with the agenda to win their way? That's something to think about with this story of Reb Loza HaMoidoy. Anyway, coming back.
Don't take their money.
Yeah, I'm not, again, not the politics. I'm dealing with the core issue of where it comes from. And it's very expensive for Chutzlaret if you don't take their money. And Stoch states that in the Rechaim HaKodesh, that the money comes to Ashirim in order, says a lot of the money, Ha'oni Imoch. Ha'oni Imoch. The Rechaim HaKodesh says, the poor man is in your pocket. Hashem gives you a lot of money, more than you need. Because the poor man is in your pocket, especially Bnei Torah. The only way to really reward a Ben Torah is with Ruchnius. So he can't give him Gashmius. So he puts the money by people that can be the conduit to give it to the Ben Torah. And I know someone personally that gives money to Bnei Torah and refuses a thank you. He says, what, thank you? It's your money put by me, by Hashem. Of course, it's not easy to share, to say, but that's the Hashkofa that the Aruch Chaim HaKodesh said a long time ago. Now, moving on. There is a question, and that is, how can this man be the Melech HaMashiach? After all, he's a great warrior, but is that what makes a Melech HaMashiach? And let's go a step further. The Medrash says he used to daven before warfare, Hashem, don't come out with us to war. Not to win and not to make us lose. Don't come out with us to war. That doesn't sound like a big tzaddik. This is the question. How can Rabbi Akiva believe that he was Mashiach? So the Satmar Rebbe, Devar Yoel, he asked this question. And he says that the Rambam actually says that to be the Melech HaMashiach, you have to be a Hoyge BaTorah, a Tzaddik. You need to know Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And you have to be Meshiv Klal Yisrael B'Tshuva, and you have to be Loichel Molchomus. By the way, like in this week's Sedra, if you learn the Sedra properly, you'll see, by the way, they only chose Tzaddikim that didn't have any chait. And even Hiru, there's a whole story how they went into each house to stop any Hiru. And that's why Klal Yisrael don't have anyone fall in battle, it says in Chazal. So long as the army is tzaddikim, they don't fall in battle. So they definitely didn't have a mixed army, that's for sure. But Al-Kaponim, state da in Rambam, that he has to be on a certain madrega, on a certain level. So how can it be that he's the Melech HaMashiach? And if he's davni that Hashem shouldn't come with, how can it be that he's the Melech HaMashiach? There's one more question, and that is, that the Rambam says the Melech HaMashiach doesn't need to do miracles. That's the Rambam's opinion. Doesn't need to do miracles. There's a question, the Gemara Sanhedrin says the Melech HaMashiach has to be able to smell and judge. The Rambam doesn't paskin like that. So how does the Rambam paskin? The Rambam paskins, it goes up Yiderech HaTeva. Tell me, is Ben Kuziva al Derech HaTeva a man that can catch catapults? The answer is yes. He was mighty. His soldiers were mighty. And therefore, you know what it means, Yidavant Hashem, don't come out to war with us? It doesn't mean he didn't davant Hashem. He didn't hold of Hashem, Chas v'Shalom. It means we don't need Nisim. We can do this al derech ha-teva. That's all it means. It wasn't a negative thing. It means don't do Nisim for us. Nisim eats up as chusim. We are strong. We're 200,000 men that were able to bite off our fingers. We're very strong people. We'll do this ourselves without Nisim. That's what it means. So it's not a negative thing. He's saying, We don't want to eat up a schusim, Hashem. Let us do the work ourselves. No, it's not. Koich v'yitz miyodi means you attribute it totally to yourself. But all he's asking is that we don't want a ness, not a miracle. And then you have to say as well that when we say that he was a loichel molchomus, of course he was a talmud chacham, etc. That's not a chiddush. The chiddush is that he was also a loichel molchomus. It's a rare thing that a sage is going to be a general that's leading molchomus. So that's what we stress. And was Rabbi Kiva wrong? Well, if he had all these attributes to him, he wasn't wrong. So how come he got it wrong? Because there's two stages. It says in the Rambam. First stage is, he learns Torah, he knows Kala Torah Kula, he's Makar of Klal Yisrael, and he wages wars. Then he's Becheskas Shuhu Mashiach. And how do you know that he's actually Mashiach? You only know he's actually Mashiach once he subdues all the enemies. So the first stage, he was right. Finishes the Rambam, Kim Mishinerai. Once Ben Kaziva was killed, then he knew he's not Melech HaMashiach. Then he knew he's not Melech HaMashiach, once he's killed. So I had actually a Lubavitcher friend of mine who was in the Tzibur where I said this drasha somewhere else, and he was getting a bit worried. Kim Shinerag, you know, once he's dead, he can't be. I said, if you want, for you, we'll be Medayik Kim Shinerag, only if he gets killed.
Still alive.
Yeah, other those. I'm a Kim Shinerag, only when he gets killed. If he dies, I don't know. Al Kaponim, there is a question. Is it allowed to believe in someone that he's Mashiach? And the truth is, in Chazal you find that there is such a concept. For instance, Rabbi Kiva believed in Ben Kaziva, that he was Mashiach. So is there something wrong in that? The answer is, I guess there's various schools of thought. The Yaivat says, so long as that person is keeping Torah and mitzvahs and is only adding to Klal Yisrael's values, then maybe. But for instance, Shabbat Tzvi, that was breaking down the values of the Torah, how can you believe in him? The Munkacher Rebbe says, then no, you're not allowed to. Why? Because Rabbi Kiva did it, okay. First of all, maybe he made a mistake. And secondly, he's a Tana. What gives you the right to decide who's Mashiach? Who are you? Where do you get that gaiva from to decide that someone's Mashiach? So that's the Munkacher school. Again, there's various schools of thought, because in the Gemara's Mabua, you can believe that someone is Mashiach. I'll end with the Kedushas Levi. Kedushas Levi says, why on Tisha B'Av is Noilad Mashiach? So Kedushas Levi says that all year round we're busy and we don't have proper time to think about the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Tisha B'Av, we clear our thoughts and put our mind, the whole matzav of the day is such that we can concentrate on the Churban HaBayis. And since we're busy properly with the Churban HaBayis, then it's almost automatic that it's the fix-up day, because we're there, we're present, we're caring, we want. So Memeila is born Mashiach, whether it means literally born or born into us, that Mashiach can come, is because we're properly there wanting Mashiach. Other days, we're busy and we're not properly there. So maybe taka zoicha to the calming of all sorrows. Klal Yisrael should see Yeshua's. Those taka on the battlefield should be safe. And those learning Torah should be supported. And may Klal Yisrael see and be zoicha to understand what we have in our midst and to support it. And be zoicha to the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael.
I would say that every time you can say about this Rebbe, you believe that you could be a clear. Somebody told me.
Yeah, the question is the latest generation.